A short time this morning, can you turn with me to the chapter of New Testament we read, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 2. Verses 1 and 2, just for introduction. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Quite simply, I want us to think here this morning of the way in which these wise men were searching for Jesus, and in doing so, they challenge us and they also give us an example as to what our response and reaction ought to be following them in looking and searching for Jesus. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is one of the two most amazing events that have ever happened to this universe and to us as mankind. His coming, his death. This morning, as we think of his coming, it was something that not everybody knew of it. In fact, it was a very exclusive event. The angels gave intimation of it to the shepherds as they were on the hillside. Shepherds who were illiterate, rough and ready people. They didn't have great or much acceptance and friends because of their position and of their lifestyle. And it contrasts significantly with the scribes and the spiritual leaders of the day, because they had the word of prophecy. They had all of the Old Testament. These pages that tell us and give us time after time hints and indications of the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. They had these things, but the angels didn't come to speak to them. They were not involved in this happening, the great happening of the birth of Jesus Christ. God had indeed spoken in the Old Testament. He had spoken about his coming of his Son. But so many of these people were concerned and distracted with peripheral details. They quite simply rejected and refused the simple truth of the coming of Jesus. They had it in their hands, but they didn't act upon it. And so God now sidesteps them and speaks to a crowd that were dismissed by the scribes. He speaks to a people in different ways according to their understanding. The best way of speaking to these shepherds as they were out in the hillside was the way the Lord selected. Dramatic appearance and a vision at night time. Something that was vivid, that would stay with them, that they would understand and that they would act upon. To Joseph it was through a dream. Several references to it here, to go to Egypt, to return from Egypt. And to the wise men, who were always concerned about phenomena in the skies, who were always concerned about what was happening on a global scale. It was a star that was used to guide them. We don't know what the details of the star, and speculation is to no profit. So many different people argue for different explanations of what it was and how it worked. We simply don't know. But what we do know and what we can go on is that God used that, whatever it was, to guide these wise men to come to the place of the birth of Jesus. And there is there in that simple, general approach, a lesson for ourselves. Because if we don't use the privileges that God gives us, if we don't do as he shows us, tells us, and indicates to us, If we don't go down the path which the Lord has opened and set before us, then God will turn aside to others, pass us by, and speak to them of the things that we have rejected. All that you have to do is think of modern day Turkey and some of the areas around about that end of the Mediterranean. We have in the Old and the New Testament letters that were written to different churches that were set up in different areas in that country. Thriving churches, some of them. But when we look today for them, they're only ruins and remnants. If we do not use what God gives us, then God will take it and pass it on to others who will appreciate it. And that's the great threat to the traditional church today in our own land and to ourselves and the things that we know about God. Well, let's come down to this searching for Jesus as we have it in the life of these wise men. First thing I want us to think of, very simple thoughts and headings for us all to remember and to take with us. First of all, I want us to think of the way in which these wise men were inquisitive. Inquisitive? Well, they kept asking the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? They saw the star and they saw something unique and different about it, so they went after it. They were curious to find out where Jesus was. They had just a little sign, but they felt the compulsion and they felt the responsibility that they went out wherever it went. It was a long journey they were on. It's not so easily done then as it is done today. It was years rather than hours to journey from one place to another with them. And so they went out on a great journey with a degree of commitment, inquisitive. What does this mean? What's this telling me? What is this speaking to my life? And where am I to go to find an answer? A whole raft and a whole pile of questions. They were inquisitive. We have a greater responsibility upon our shoulders because we have been told so much more than they knew. And we have a greater responsibility to follow through the questions they were asking. Where is Jesus, he that is born King of the Jews? Three simple thoughts, if we want to break down their inquisitiveness. Three simple thoughts that we can set as an instructor for ourselves. First of all, there is this one indeed. They were curious. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? They were searching for Jesus Christ out of the highest motivations and intentions. But Herod the king, when he heard, he started to search also. But his search was filled with malice. He was wanting to remove all opposition. In the city itself of Jerusalem, there was nobody. There was nobody seeking after Jesus. There was nobody looking for the child. What a contrast we have with these wise men. And what a lesson for ourselves today. So much excitement, so much involvement, so much preparation that has been engaged in over the last several weeks. And yet, how many people have mixed with that enthusiasm and activity? How many ask the question today, what's it all about? Why are we doing these things? What are we celebrating? The same contrast as we saw in the days in Jerusalem, repeated with ourselves. So few people in church, so few people curious enough to ask the question, why? What? But not only does it apply to ourselves just now, not only does it apply especially at Christmas time because there's so many people will come maybe just for one service out of the whole year, but it's something that should be asked all the time in our lives. Whenever we do come to church, are we just simply going through the motions? Are we just simply going through habit and ritual? Have we got a personal interest and involvement in what's happening and what we're speaking of in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do we come prepared? Yes, we can come prepared and we can get dressed and we can get such like ready for coming to church. But what about our mind and our soul? Do we come just asking a simple question? What's it about? Do we listen carefully to what is being said in the service? And when we go away and when we scatter our different ways after the service this morning, do we ask the question, now I wonder what he was meaning there? And do we ask the question, what's the significance for me now? The curiosity that these wise men showed to us. They had a little, only a little understanding. They only had a little knowledge, but they used it well. The Lord gives to us so much more than they had. What are we doing with the knowledge and information which God has given to us? Who is he? What is he? Is he mine? Do I have a personal interest in Jesus Christ as the Savior of my soul from sin? Because that's the great purpose with which he came. He came to save his people. The biggest problem that is faced by men, wherever they are today, we can think of environmental and every other kind of problem, but the biggest one is this one, of what we are inside here and before God. And the true joy and the deep reason for Christmas message is to be had as we understand the spiritual factors about it. Curiosity. But not only were they curious, we read also that they confessed their ignorance. They came asking the question. They knew their limitations. Not all of us know, and not all of us are willing to admit that. But here they are, saying, I don't know, but will you show me where he is? We all are in that situation. Perhaps there was a time when we weren't willing to admit, we didn't even think that there was anything wrong with us. Everything was just so in our lives. Everything was okay. And then God began to speak with us and to deal with us and to show us things. And we began to realize perhaps that things weren't just as comfortable with us as they once were. We would realize that we have a great need. We realized that life wasn't plain sailing anymore, and certainly we didn't have the comfort that we thought we had and the rest and peace that we thought we had. And so we've got to confess our ignorance. Pride will stop us from doing that. So often we don't want to be seen to be lacking or in any way defective. But the Lord will show us just how ignorant we are and can be of so many great things. And especially brings to our notice the way in which we just don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. We just don't know Him. But we don't want to admit it. We don't want to confess it. And so we bottle it up and we hide it. And that's doing us more harm than good. These people confess their ignorance. And the third thing we see about their inquisitiveness, they continued with it. They didn't stop. It didn't put them off. It didn't put them down. They didn't stay where they were in their ignorance. Oh yes, they could have tried asking so many people along the way. They could have tried so many people when they came to the city. They would have asked so many people, but nobody would have given them an answer. What effect did that have on them? Did it put them off? Their past experience didn't stop them, but they continued searching for Jesus. Perhaps we've got a past experience that we think puts us off. Perhaps we've had a previous experience and we say, oh, that's it. I'm not wanting any more. These men didn't act like that. They continued searching. And they continued searching until they found the Lord Jesus Christ. Their inquisitiveness, asking the question. They were not trifling. They weren't laid back and so-so about what they were engaged in. They were earnest. They were committed. They wanted an answer. And so they set out. And they weren't going to stop until they had one. Are we as inquisitive and as concerned as they were? We might not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we willingly confess that we don't know Him. And we're not going to be put off. And we're not going to stop until we know Him for ourselves as the bread of life and the water of life. And it doesn't matter what is offered round about us in way of distraction in these days, and there's a lot going on round about us that totally wastes our time and passes us by come the middle of January. And if we listen to these things and are distracted by them, we lose out. But instead, we cut through them all. And we go after and chase after this answer to a question that we've got in our soul. How can I be saved? How can I be at rest and peace with God? Who is this Jesus? Where is He? Where can I find Him? Inquisitive. The second thing I want us to think of from this passage and these wise men, not only were they inquisitive, but they were impelled. There was something that drove them on. Something that kept them in the road and in the path. It was the star. We don't know what it was. Let's not speculate about that. But it was something unique. Something unusual that stirred them up in their search. And they weren't going to give up. They were responsible. They had a great privilege. They had a great privilege. And so they set out. Impelled. Stimulated. Spurred on by that star. I wonder how many of us are impelled in this same way. We have seen perhaps in the past the wonderful shades of God's provision for us. Perhaps in the past we've got wonderful experience that we can speak of and we can remember and recall of the way in which God did something or said something or met us. Perhaps our back against the wall and perhaps in a corner that was beyond our own resources. Perhaps we can all fill in the details. But let me draw upon it from your memory today. Something drove them on. And there is that also in our life that can drive us on. Of the way in which the Lord dramatically, but very personally, met with us and brought something into our lives that now we can use to stimulate us further in seeking after Him. Wonderful shades of God's multicolored grace and provision. God speaking to us personally and powerfully. What are we doing with that stimulus and that encouragement? If these men had stayed where they were, then they would have been so much more guilty because they had been given that star. They had been given that great stimulus to put them on the journey. But they were not distracted by the star. They used it in the right way. They didn't stop at every city that was along the road. They didn't stop at every watering hole. They didn't stop with the crowds that gathered here and there along the way. Remember, there was a great census being taken place. There was the whole nation was on the move. But they pressed home. They went down the road the star took them, constantly impelled, constantly stimulated, cutting through everything that would distract them, looking for an answer for this question, pressing it home to their souls all the time. They didn't rest, nor should we. How do we apply it? Well, they cut through all the distractions. Let's think of some of the distractions. The obvious ones we've already mentioned that are going on round about us today. The way in which there's so much offered by way of entertainment, by way of enjoyment, distraction and such like, and it'll all fade away. But let's think of other things. For example, we've all got our own baptism. We've all been baptized in the church, perhaps. We've all come and we all attend church. We all have some degree of knowledge. There's that whole Christian background that is with every one of us. But we cannot rest in these things because these things won't save us. These things won't make our souls secure or give us peace. They're privileges we've got, but we've got to keep on going through them. Keep on using them. Don't stop and rest with them. Don't just simply say, well, that's okay. I've got under my shoulder and underneath my hand, I've got a great list of Christian things that I've done or that have been done to me. I've got so much of an attendance record in church. I've all these books and prizes out of the Sunday school. And so the list goes on. And sometimes we can build our hope on these things. And these wise men tell us, no, keep going. Keep going through them all. Because at the center of all of these Christian things we've got in our culture and our society, there comes into focus and view a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one that they were going out after. And this is the one that you and I need. Impelled, stimulated, pushed on through all of these distractions. Are we settling down? Are we stopping short? Are we resting where we are? If we are, then these wise men this morning are speaking to us and what we're doing. Inquisitive, impelled. Third thing that we have here is they were indebted. What did they do when they came to the child, when they saw the child? We are told that they were filled with exceeding great joy. They did three things. Look at what we're told here. Verse 9 and 10, when they heard the king, they departed. Verse 11, rather. And when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. When they were come to the house, they saw the young child. Quite simply, they looked upon Jesus. They gazed upon God incarnate in flesh. Here we have God's Son gloriously dwelling amongst us. It's very interesting that whenever the Bible speaks about this family and about this situation, the Lord Jesus Christ is always mentioned first. He has that focal point. He is the center of attention and attraction. He is the one that we are to look to and look for. We all then look at the picture. We can all picture it in our own mind. We've got the picture. The Christmas scene, the nativity. What are we seeing? What are we seeing? Do we see God come amongst us? Do we see the hopes and years of the hopes and fears of countless years met in Christ that night? Do we see the things that were promised in the Old Testament fulfilled? Do we see here is God's word and God's promises amazing, marvelously fulfilled amongst us? Do we see him full of grace and truth? Do we see majesty, glory, grace? We're looking, but what are we seeing? Do we see beyond the drapings of humanity? Do we see beyond the drapings of a child? And do we see who that child is and what that child is? Looking. But then we also have them worshipping. We cannot worship a God we don't know. But they were taught and they accepted Jesus as the King of the Jews, the Messiah, guided by the star. By the star brought to the place where he lay. And there they worshipped him. Christ, the fulfillment of their search. The one that they had traveled so far for so long to find, they now found him. And what was the reaction when they got to him? But they fell and they worshipped before him. This is the same reaction for every one of us. When we ask the question, when we keep on following the path, when we don't be distracted by what is going on round about us, when God brings us to find Jesus for ourselves, this is the same reaction with us as with them. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of all the good things that he's given us and brought to us. Especially spiritual things. Our lives, we've got health, we've got strength and such like. Good things from God. But let's think of the spiritual things. He's brought pardon and forgiveness. Jesus Christ is the one who brings peace to people's lives, peace that people are searching for endlessly through the years. This is where it is on offer, and he is the one that can give it. The Lord Jesus Christ. When we hear his words of forgiveness, when we know his touch upon our souls, then we know the rest and the joy that the angels and the shepherds were singing about. But until we have that spiritual understanding of ourselves and of this message, these experiences will be strange to us. Christmas won't have that thrill and rush. There won't be that same deep down lasting joy until we know Jesus for ourselves as our Savior. And they gave him gifts. Gifts that were precious because of what they were in their cost, but also precious because they'd been carried such a distance. Nothing was held back. Nothing was held back from God, who gave his own Son to be the Savior of sinners. Christ, who gave his very life on the cross. And we can only understand the marvel of these beginning chapters of the gospel if we read them in the light of the finishing, closing chapters of the gospel. We make no sense of the birth unless we put side by side with it his death. The cradle and the cross go together. He gave his very life to obtain pardon and forgiveness for those who trust in him. These wise men were truly indebted, and they showed it in their worship and their gifts. How then does all of this apply to ourselves? As we close, let me just suggest three very different reactions. First of all, there was hostile rejection. Then there was half-hearted indifference. And then there was humble worship. Three simple thoughts to close with. First of all, hostile rejection. We've already hinted at it. What was Herod's intention for searching for Jesus? Herod had heard the story. A king of the Jews? A king? What does that mean? Even if he is a baby, he'll grow up. And the support for him will grow also. And he's a threat. A king? I'm having none of it. And so we have this mock interest to cover his true intentions. He was wanting to kill all competition. When the wise men failed to come back, then Herod took drastic action, killing everybody 2 years old and under. Jesus Christ is Lord and King. Jesus Christ is the living Lord Jesus Christ. And in that capacity as King, he meets us, he speaks with us, and he challenges us today. What then is our reaction when he challenges our lifestyle, and when he tells us we need a Savior, and when he tells us about our spiritual problems and difficulties? What is our reaction? A king? A threat to my lifestyle? I'll have none of it. Hostile rejection. But then there's another reaction here. Half-hearted indifference. Remember the priests and the scribes. Oh, they couldn't care too much about Jesus. They were casual and laid back about the news of the birth of the king. Oh, they could go back into their Old Testament, they could go back to their Bibles, and they could say, yes, there it is, and there's the chapter and verse, and there's the reference, and what's this about being born in Judah? Yes, out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people. Oh yes, they could quote chapter and verse, and they could tell you all the different parts of the Old Testament about Jesus. They could even give you some of the geography as well as the history from the prophets. It's in Jerusalem this is going to happen. They could give the details about Bethlehem. They could give the details about Egypt. But it did nothing for them. Their life just went on as normal. They were untouched, insensitive. They didn't go following the wise men to find out who this Jesus was and the King of the Jews. It had no great effect upon them. There was half-hearted indifference. Does that perhaps reflect ourselves? We're told about Jesus, we're told about the gospel, and it's like water off a duck's back. We just carry on as normal. Life is just the same as it was 5 minutes ago. Half-hearted indifference. Hostile rejection. Or maybe it is humble worship. The wise men worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that was told them was true. And they recognized it. And they worshipped the Lord Jesus. But they were not content with words alone. There were also actions. They gave their gifts. There's an extravagance. There's something majestic about these gifts. It wasn't just digging in their pocket for the change as they came. It wasn't something like on the spur of the moment, impulsive like that. There was thought, there was preparation behind it. There was extravagance. Because they were going to make the King of the Jews. Nothing was too much for Jesus. Nothing is too much for our Lord when we receive His pardon and experience His goodness to our lives. Three simple reactions of three different people. Herod, the scribes, or the wise men. Rejection, neglecting, or accepting. I wonder, underneath this Christmas message today, which one of these pictures stands true of us? Searching for Jesus. They give us a great challenge and a great lesson. Not to give up or to be distracted until we know Him for ourselves. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we bless Thy name for this day and all that it holds for us. For the way in which we can come together like this and listen to what Thou art saying to us, especially of this great message of good news in Jesus Christ the Lord. We ask of Thee, O Lord, that what we've heard and what we know might be blessed to our souls and kept by us. And we pray, Lord, especially that we might have its application to our lives where we are, that we might know our need, and that we might be always on the move, always searching, seeking the answer, how we can be right with Thee, until we come to rest in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Bless us then, every one of us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close our service this morning by singing from Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and at verse 5, they looked to Him. Picking up on what we were speaking about a moment ago about the shepherds. They looked to Him and lightened were, not shamed were their faces. Again, an important message we've got to lay hold of. People will laugh at us and look down on us when we say, well, I'm going to church, or I'm asking different and difficult questions about my soul and spiritual things. People will laugh at us and they'll spurn us and look down on us. And here we're told, no, we won't be ashamed when we follow through on these questions and the things we were thinking of this morning. They looked to Him and lightened were, not shame were their faces. This poor man cried, God heard and saved him from all his distresses. The angel of the Lord encamps and round encompasseth, all those about that do Him fear and them delivereth. O taste and see that God is good, who trusts in Him is blessed. Fear God as saints, none that in fear shall be with want oppressed. The lions young may hungry be, and they may lack their food, but they that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good. O children, hither do ye come, and unto me give ear. I shall you teach to understand how ye the Lord should fear.
And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.